League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. We turn the page to August. Wednesday, August 1st. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speed, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my guy, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasía, the King, Scott Angle. How you doing, Scotty, on a Wednesday?
Good morning, Papi Chulo. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We got a big show for him today, Scott. I mean, we got a lot of stuff to talk about as we turn the page to August. The trading deadline in Major League Baseball was yesterday, a little bit later on this hour. We'll recap and give you a thumbnail sketch of what we think were the biggest moves and implications that happened in Major League Baseball by the trading deadline. Listen, though, you got to get, because it is coming close to times where drafts are happening, you got to go on over and get the Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football package. Enter the promo code the King at checkout. All right, and we've got a lot of great content in there for you. There's a lot of you know, we got ranks, we got projections. What we're also going to do is we're going to dig into my guy, the King, Scott Angle. He has a kind of players to watch for every team in the NFC. We'll dive into that as well. And we got some interesting new submissions from our fantasy football contest, the team name contest. I believe, Scotty, I haven't said some of them. You know, I mentioned some to Jake yesterday. I have a new number one, okay? There's one that I really, really like. So we'll get into that as we put the fun in functional sports radio a little bit later on. Absolutely. But let's get it started with some of the news and notes that I saw from yesterday's action. Scotty, I want to start with your squad, the Seattle Seahawks. Reports Doug Baldwin's going to be held out for a few weeks because of this knee soreness. Now, listen, I know he's a veteran, and I know that, you know, he can miss some of camp and stuff like that and be absolutely fine. But what we talk about, Scott, is at this stage of the season, I remember how we talk about how, like, everyone's in the best shape of their life. Everyone looks great. For anybody to have any kind of, like, lingering soreness in their knee, especially for a veteran like Doug Baldwin, who has been in the league for about 8 years, you know, this rates as kind of news for me. What is your level of concern around Doug Baldwin, Scott?
I think it's moderate. You know, this could just be a thing where, you know, maybe he's ready for the regular season, but knee injuries can continue to linger. He's 29 years old, which is not old for a wide receiver. But look, even if he was 25, I think there has to be some concern. I think it's moderate concern because he still may be ready for the regular season, but how much is it going to linger? This will drop him in some rankings and ADPs immediately, but that could also mean that what a lot of people do is they react to an injury when they're drafting and not looking at it in the long term.
Right.
What I mean is people will pass on Doug Baldwin because he's injured today, but then they may regret that by, say, week 4 or week 5 when he's playing well. But, you know, this, I think there's a lot of uncertainty here. So I think naturally I got to drop him in my ranks, you know, maybe just like two or three pegs. And I think you have to have some concern because Pete Carroll was very cryptic about the extent of the injury. And, you know, if he misses any time during the regular season, I think that hurts Russell Wilson a little bit because, you know, he's been his BFF on the field since day one. And you don't know about the rest of the receiving corps and who's going to step forward. But if he misses any time, I like Jerron Brown a lot as a sleeper and for him to step forward even more.
Okay, fair enough. You said you may knock Dougie Baldwin down a couple of pegs. I look at your wide receiver rankings. The names that are kind of right behind him that I see are guys like Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs. Are you now taking those guys ahead of Doug Baldwin if you're faced with that choice?
I probably waver on Diggs because he always gets hurt anyway, but probably behind Evans and Hill.
All right, fair enough. That's something we'll definitely keep our eye on. I think Scotty is right. You know, listen, it's fine for right now, but the question is, does it linger? That could be something you definitely would need to see, and obviously he is crucial to the pass-catching core over there, up there in Seattle. Scott, also some words out of Oakland and this wide receiver room. I want you to help me make sense of this wide receiver room. Check this out. Amari Cooper is up to 225 pounds, so I don't know if we like that, you know, him putting on more weight. Maybe he wants to be more durable. And they're also on the flip side saying, Jordy, he looks good, that he can still run. I don't believe it. I don't trust it. I think Jordy's washed. I think Amari Cooper is someone who I still have concerns about. I personally am not necessarily into Amari Cooper, although I will acknowledge that the number one wide receiver in the Gruden offense usually does do it well. I know you have him, you're down on him as well in your ranks, having him really as a back end wide receiver too. And then we hear with Martavis Bryant, like, listen, there's still this kind of cloud hanging over him. You know, is he going to be facing any discipline? Help me make sense of this wide receiver room in Oakland, who Carr is throwing to. Do you think Amari Cooper becomes like this, you know, target monster? Do you think Jordy still has it? Do you think Martavis is a safe bet to avoid discipline for the league? How would you play this Oakland Raiders wide receiver group?
Starting from the back end, Martavis Bryant's never safe. It's kind of a miniature version, if you will, of Josh Gordon. Even if he doesn't get suspended, you don't know when the next bad turn is coming around, you know, with this guy, when, you know, he might get into more trouble. Amari Cooper is being drafted as wide receiver 15, according to FantasyPros.com, and I think that's a little high for my taste. You know, I'd rather have guys behind him like Larry Fitzgerald, Allen Robinson, Demaryius Thomas, Alshon Jeffrey, Golden Tate. You know, I'd rather have those guys than him. So, you know, look, Cooper has a lot to prove. He's still very young, and I'm not saying he can't have a big year, but he hasn't shown us anything yet. So I got to play wait and see. He's got to earn a higher rank than what he has now. I can't just rank him based on his potential. No, ADP of in PPR of 16 on Fantasy Pros, and the guys, there's a lot of guys behind him I'd rather have than him. You know, Jarvis Landry for sure. So, and then you talk about Jordy Nelson. Look, all three of these guys are gambles. That's what it is, fantasy gambles. Jordy Nelson had a terrible year last year because, you know, Brett Hundley was an awful quarterback, and sometimes that really drags down a receiver. He's in a better quarterbacking situation, so he's not going to be what he used to. But I think, you know, Jordy Nelson has some wide receiver 3 potential and promise. You know, draft him as a wide receiver 4, maybe even a wide receiver 5, and I think there's some potential there. He might not be done. 32 is not the end of the line for a wide receiver.
Fair enough, but Scott, can I ask you this, though? I think this is my angle. Let me tell you, let me see if you buy it. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. With Jordy Nelson in the past, a lot of his production came from what I would say is based on chemistry with Aaron Rodgers, you know, back shoulder throws, knowing where he was going to be, adjustments at the line. And we talked about this a little bit I think it was late last week, we talked about the adjustment period that's necessary with a lot of new quarterbacks and wide receiver tandems. We talked about the adjustment for, say, Jimmy Garoppolo getting to know Pierre Garçon. We talk about the adjustment for Kirk Cousins and his new wide receivers. I think there is an adjustment factor that has to be considered for Jordy Nelson, and I kind of think it's a little bit more because he has to undo some of the great chemistry that he had with Aaron Rodgers to try to build it up with Carr. Like, that's going to take some time. Wouldn't that be a mark kind of in the cause for pause around Jordy Nelson?
I think it's a different situation when you talk about Garoppolo. Garoppolo's only started 5 games, and they were at the end of a season when they're not playing for anything. He's never been the starter coming out of the gate for a full season, and he's still new with practically all of his offensive teammates. Derek Carr is an established quarterback, established veteran quarterback. You know, you pretty much know that he's been in the league for a few years, and Jordy Nelson is also a veteran wide receiver. So I think while, yes, there might be an adjustment period, I think they can get on the page quicker than somebody, say, in San Francisco. And when, I don't know, is it fair to say Jordy Nelson is washed? Let's look at his last 2 years. He was playing with awful Brett Hundley last year, and the year before that he was injured. Now, look, playing with Aaron Rodgers is terrific, but you got to give Jordy Nelson some credit for his own accomplishments too. And if Derek Carr is a veteran quarterback saying, well, I know these kind of routes is, you know, work well for you in the past, you know, we're going to incorporate this into the playbook and into the schemes.
All right, fair enough. We shall see. I personally will let someone else take a chance on Jordy Nelson this year. Hey, some people
you
got
would
money.
Take him if he's sitting out there as like a wide receiver 5?
It depends on who else is there. Obviously, Scott. You know, but on balance, he's not someone I'm looking.
Okay, can
can
we play a little game then?
Sure. Where do you have?
I'm gonna go off ADPs right now.
Yeah, I see where Nelson is, and I see some other guys around them that I would definitely take. Go ahead.
Okay, Jordy Nelson or Robbie Anderson?
Yeah, I'm taking Robbie Anderson.
Me too. Jordy Nelson or Marquise Goodwin?
You know, that one is interesting, but I did like what Goodwin did with Garoppolo. I'd rather take the 2 on a team than what I think is the 3 on the Raiders.
Okay, Jordy Nelson or Sterling Shepard?
Definitely Shepard.
Yeah, I'd go Nelson. Jordy Nelson or Kelvin Benjamin?
There I might go Jordy Nelson. I don't believe in anything in Buffalo.
Okay.
But even some guys below him, like for example, Scotty, I would rather take Julian Edelman and lose the four games than Jordy Nelson.
Right.
Corey Davis, I'll take a shot that Corey Davis takes a step forward than Jordy Nelson. I'll take a shot on Mike Williams, especially with no Hunter Henry, if they don't sign Antonio Gates over Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, that I wouldn't do. Williams has to let's establish himself.
Yeah, but, you know, so, yeah, I mean, there are, when faced with that decision, it does look like there are places I would go that might be a little bit different, and it seems like you're a little bit higher on him than I am. That's all.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Let's go to some people that got some money. You know my man is one of my favorite nicknames. We do the nickname team name contest all the time. But for the last 2 years on this network, you guys know my favorite one has been a wide receiver up in Minnesota that got paid yesterday. I'm talking about my man Stephon. Can you dig it? Scotty, by the way, for those of us who are of a certain age and know the city, The Warriors, one of the best movies of all time, right? One of the best B-movies of all time, right?
Yep.
Can you dig it? But in any event, he gets the extension. Listen, he's in the kind of same range as Brandon Cooks. I like that he gets paid. You know, Odell still needs to get paid. We're thinking about that. Listen, I've heard crazy things about Stephon Diggs, though, Scotty. Remember a couple years ago when Mike Wallace was up there still in Minnesota with him, he was comparing Stephon Diggs to Antonio Brown. Now, this is a guy, Mike Wallace, who had played with both of them. A lot of people are saying that Diggs is one of the best, at the point of the catch for a small guy, you know, that he's got a great catch rate. This is a guy, remember the play, the Minneapolis Miracle that he made. Jake always makes the point that it's Minnesota, it's going to be very interesting to see who it is that plays in the slot. And he's going to really like whoever that is, but that sometimes that's Thielen, sometimes that's Diggs. Talk to me about the skill set of a Stephon Diggs and maybe what his ceiling is, because the kid is still not old. What do you think about Stephon? Can you? Diggs it.
Yeah, well, you know, not old. He's only been in the league for 3 years, so
that's what I'm saying.
You know, but you know, look, the guy can pretty much, like, he runs a great out and up. You know, he great concentration with balls in the air, and you know, really knows how to work a defensive back. You know, in terms of the route tree, you know, he's savvy. Right. But you look at the comparisons to Antonio Brown. You know, he's about the same. He's 10 pounds heavier than Antonio Brown, but he's not as durable. He's not as durable as Antonio Brown. The guy hasn't played a full season yet in his career, and I think that's a big difference. You know, I don't think he has Antonio Brown's deep speed or deep gears. You know, that's a difference, I think, between him and Antonio Brown. But Stephon Diggs could be a number one fantasy wide receiver, maybe towards the back end if he stays healthy. The problem is, you know, he doesn't stay healthy. By the way, your Warriors reference.
Yeah.
If I was in the Warriors, I'd be in the Baseball Furies because
absolutely
they were based on Kiss. So,
you wouldn't be in the Lizzie, Scott?
No,
I know. I'm joking with you. I'm joking with you. Let me ask you one more thing about Diggs. Okay.
I'm gonna look up the Lizzies. I better not dislike what you say. I can't remember which gang they were.
Oh, I was completely joking with you, Scott. Scott, they were the female gang.
Oh, very funny.
Lizzies. Oh, they were all. You know,
you got jokes now. The Jet fan is jokes.
It's early.
Yeah,
okay. It's early. Let me ask you one more thing about Diggs. And I know you may have it differently as I see your rankings, but you know, I think the consensus ranks has Thielen a couple of spots ahead of Diggs, right? I got to tell you the truth, Scotty. I mean, based on the value, because I really think they can approximate the same numbers. Like, you never really know which one of these guys at the end of the season is actually going to be the most productive wideout for the Vikings. I don't think there's any reason to assume that it would be Thielen, and because of that, I think Diggs actually represents a better value than Thielen, the only caveat being maybe the ability to stay healthy, like you mentioned. But do you buy that? Like, when these two guys are so close, it seems like everybody's in love with Thielen, and all of a sudden people think, like, maybe Diggs is playing second fiddle. I don't necessarily think that that's the case. I don't think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah, it's the injury factor. That's what separates the two. It's pretty much as simple as that.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Scotty, you know, we're talking a little bit about wide receivers, you know, and not only Stephon Diggs getting his money, but check this out. The New Orleans Saints go ahead and sign former Vikings wide receiver Michael Floyd. So we have news about that. You know, we talked about maybe Dez working out for the Browns, and we also have another wide receiver coming off the street, potentially Eric Decker, working out up there in New England. First, let's take them one at a time. Talk to me about Michael Floyd with New Orleans. Does this say anything about potentially the health of Cam Meredith, or is this just another body? Do you think Floyd makes the 53-man roster? You think he's viable in the Saints wide receiver core?
Yeah, neither of these guys are any real fantasy story. It's like when we talked about Terrence West, maybe to a slightly larger degree. You know, you're not going to draft any of them unless you're an inexperienced fantasy player who comes to a draft with a magazine and just, you know, happens to see that name, you know, out there or something like that, and you remember its potential from a few years ago, maybe when you were paying more attention. Meredith is fine. It's another depth signing. Every team that has acquired Michael Floyd since Arizona has taken a flyer on him, you know, for depth and nothing more. Eric Decker is finished. You know, these are non-stories here in fantasy.
Okay. The only way I thought it could have been something is, remember, Cameron Meredith they have now in New Orleans to be that number two kind of guy. And he is coming back from an ACL injury, Scott. You know what I mean? So that was the only kind of tea leaf that I was maybe trying to
read. That's why I like rookie Tre'Quan Smith. And that's, you know, why they drafted the kid. So, you know, there are other guys. I think I'd have more confidence in Brandon Coleman stepping up than Michael Floyd making a difference. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So if
when you say stuff like you think he's going to make the 53-man roster, my fantasy translation always of that question is it doesn't matter for fantasy.
Right. No, if they're going to be on the back end of the actual roster, you know, how many snaps are they getting? How many touches are they getting? Not enough to move the needle. Like I said, the only reason I considered it as potentially newsworthy is we know Cam Meredith is coming back from injury. So I wondered if this signals that, Cam Meredith may not be ready because, like, we believe Cam Meredith is fantasy viable. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I wonder.
But all the reports
if,
on Cam Meredith is that he's, you know, he's full go in practice.
Okay, so maybe that's not a concern, and maybe they are just trying to build that extra Cam Dotty.
I think it's unrelated. I mean, you look at like when this, if somebody's going to bring in a veteran with question marks to maybe make a difference, they're going to do it before now. Look at the Seahawks with Brandon Marshall, who I still don't think is, you know, really going to make a difference. You know, they signed him to a 1-year deal, you know, about two, three months ago. You know, they didn't wait until now to make it happen.
Okay, fair enough. You know, we believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, you believe the only wide receiver who is not currently on an NFL roster that has the ability to make an impact is Dez Bryant, correct?
Yeah. And
so no Eric Decker, no Jeremy
Maclin. That's a different situation. That's a different situation than, say, Eric Decker, you know, who didn't show us anything the last time we saw him, or Michael Floyd, who's really never shown us anything. Dez is just waiting for the right situation. You know he can still make an impact. If Jeremy Maclin got on a roster and in the right situation, I'd have more confidence in him than, say, an Eric Decker or a Michael Floyd, because, you know, this is a veteran receiver that you know, has shown us more than the other two in recent seasons.
I really feel like Jeremy Maclin could, you know, these wide receiving groups that we've talked about that we know are piss poor, right? Buffalo, Dallas. I always talk about Indianapolis. I think, listen, Jeremy Maclin on Indianapolis could be interesting.
There's got to be something up with Jeremy Maclin that we don't know when a guy doesn't
What is
time.
He, like 30?
He's only 30 years old. And
Has had success, you know, in Philly and in Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't know why he's going unsigned. I don't know if it's an off-the-field thing that we're not hearing about. You know, sometimes in those situations, you know, there's a reason why every general manager is being hands-off on him. It could be stuff that, you know, that the front offices are talking about behind the scenes that they don't want to touch him, that just hasn't gotten out publicly.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely interesting, but, you know, there's still some people out there. But maybe, you know, he's keeping it quiet on the same tact as some of these other guys are going to wait for an injury kind of thing. You know, that's the only other – that is going to start happening as camps, you know, get rolling. Listen, Scotty, can you believe, Scotty, that tomorrow there is an NFL football game? Tomorrow.
I can believe it, yeah. It's an NFL football game.
I'm just saying, I'm excited, Scott. We turned the page to August, and all of a sudden, we got football to break down. So tomorrow on the show, what we will do is we will talk about the Hall of Fame game. I believe it is the Bears and the Ravens. Ravens are -2 over on mybookie.ag. I'm telling you right now, though, if you bet point spreads on NFL preseason, you may have a problem. You know, because there's absolutely no way to figure that bad boy out. Okay, so maybe you can find
people
some other
play preseason fantasy football on DraftKings, and that's something I never touch because it's just way too unpredictable.
Right. I think what you have to do is kind of like know the third tight end, right, and know like who's going to get the snaps. I do think I once spoke to our guy, a friend of the network, Benny Riccardi. Tony, and he said that there's actually some value there if you like know the beat reporters and stuff, and they get a decent read on like which backups are actually going to play like the entire second half, you know. And it's a volume question. If you know the players that are going to get snaps, you know the production, and like there may be ways, like, you know, usually via the beat writers right before the game to kind of figure that out a little bit. And it's interesting, but I also agree with you. It's very hard.
Yeah, but it's very hard, though, because even if those guys get the time, if you pick, say, a wide receiver, how do you know that the quarterback's going to sufficiently execute? Or how do you know that, this guy's going to get the opportunity, but you don't know if he's going to drop a pass or something. See, I always talk about you can't predict execution. And that's why fantasy experts only write 55% of the time at best. I think it's less. You could predict even less execution when you're talking about guys who are non-starters.
All right, fair enough. Listen, we only got a couple of minutes here, but we got Boy on the line. We go to Kenny in Philly. Hey, Kenny, Roto Experts in the Morning. Haven't heard from you in a couple of days. Hope you're doing well. We only got a couple of minutes up until the break, so let's get your questions out. What is good, Kenny?
I'm just glad you guys got off that Stephon Diggs train, because as a Saints fan, I really don't want
to. Oh yeah,
that.
he put it to you in the miracle last year. Sorry to give you PTSD, Kenny.
On to the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders. I think the Raiders season is going to fall on whether Amari Cooper can be a viable number one, because if he can, that opens it up for Jordy and Martavis and a running game and. I mean that so forth. I do agree with you guys on the two receivers that were practicing, whatever, the one for the Saints and the one for the Patriots. Also, y'all was talking about the Dolphins next week, and I don't think any of those receivers are viable. I heard that that one of the cornerbacks for the Dolphins was given Kenny Stills
Parker
some work.
Issues. Yeah, he was wearing them like a piece of equipment, right? Yeah
like Xavier Howard. Yeah.
Yeah, so Kenny Stills is nothing but a number three on the team. I don't think he could be a number one or two. The Saints drafted him, so we should know best. But I'm pretty sure Scott remembers when he dropped that long ball. They could have beat the Seahawks there a couple years ago while Miami was in Seattle.
that's the difference between a winning and a losing team. A winning team makes that play.
You're absolutely correct. All right, that's all I got, guys. I know you got to hit the break, so I'll talk to you guys later.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Kenny, for joining the show. Kenny in Philly always puts the fun and functional sports content with us. Hey, Scotty, we got to step aside and pay the bills here real quick, okay? So here's what I want to do. When we come back, okay, I want to ask you – actually, no, let's take a break, okay? When we come back, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. All right, we do have we had a busy trading deadline in Major League Baseball yesterday. We got some new team names that I want to get into, and I also want to press you a little bit about something you just mentioned in terms of these wide receivers moving forward, okay? But I got to tell people, do not forget, again, we talk about the season win totals and playoff odds. Go on over to mybookie.ag, enter the promo code FNTSY, and you can get a 50% deposit bonus. This way, when you listen to Roto Experts in the morning, you know where to put a couple of shekels. Maybe it's on the preseason games. I don't know. I think I'd wait until the regular season, but that's on you. When we come back, we talk Major League Baseball trade deadline, fantasy football team names, and more from the Roto Experts package. It's the King Scott Angle and spitting statistician Dane Martinez. Come on right back. Let him know, Scott.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Rock. What's up, Doc? It is Roto Experts in the Morning, Dane Martinez and Scotty Engel, putting the fun in functional sports content. Hey, Scott, here's what I wanted to ask you about. You know, Kenny and Philly, they were talking about Kenny Stills and some of these wideouts in Miami. We were talking about Devontae Parker really not taking that step forward. He's starting to be in Fugazi territory. Listen, none of these guys really moved the needle. Stills, Amendola, Parker, Albert Wilson, we talked about. I keep on coming back. What does that mean for Kenyon Drake out of the backfield and Mike Gesicki? Could he break the mold of the rookie tight end? You know, if we don't believe in these wide receivers, maybe Drake out of the backfield, maybe Gesicki, and they become more favored options of Ryan Tannehill. What do you think about those guys, Drake and Gesicki, as part of the Miami pass game?
I think Drake's going to be heavily used, and maybe he's a bit underrated in fantasy circles. Could be a top 15 fantasy running back. You know, bringing in Frank Gore is like a handcuff. But Gesicki has all the talent, but, you know, we talk about it incessantly.
The rookie
about
tight end.
You know, about rookie tight ends. And he didn't have a strong mini camp either. It's, I think he'll have flashes here and there and catch a few red zone passes, but I don't see him anything more than a tight end fantasy too. You know, maybe he could surprise, but I'm not enthusiastic about it. You know, this Dolphins offense is going to be bad.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that's why, Scotty, we've always said that we are running, not walking. I'll meet you at the ticket window, and we are both putting the under on the Miami Dolphins this season. I believe it is still at like 7 wins, and I think that, you know, we got some dregs in the AFC East outside of the New England Patriots. Scotty, we got another call on the line. It is football season getting in there. We got football action tomorrow. So more people want to hear from the king and the spitting statistician. We got Mark in New Jersey. He's got questions about some rookie quarterbacks. I definitely want to bring him in. Mark, what's going on? You're here on Roto Experts in the morning.
Hey, Mark. What's going on, guys? Good morning. How you guys doing?
Feeling
good,
all
Mark.
Right.
How
I got
are
coffee
you?
In hand. What's up?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Hey, last year, if you had taken a flyer on Deshaun Watson in like the 15th or 16th round, he wasn't going to start the season, but you were in luck because you had some really, really strong games out of him in performance. Is there any rookie quarterbacks that are not going to start initially, like your Baker Mayfields and whatnot, that you think would be worth taking a round 15, a late pick on just to have on your in case they blow up?
You mean this year in redraft leagues, Mark, or are you talking about in Dynasty? You mean for just 2018?
Yeah, either or. I'm in one of each. So if we had a Dynasty league or if you had, even in the 2018-2019 season.
Go ahead, Scott. What do you think?
I would say, you know, Lamar Jackson, you know, is probably going to get more attention in dynasty leagues. And, you know, it's not possible to get him as a bargain in your rookie draft. But in yearly leagues, you know, he's got a lot of upside with the rushing ability and the strong arm. You know, in dynasty leagues, it's really hard to let, you know, any of these guys slip by and be sleepers. But, you know, I believe that Sam Darnold is eventually going to be the Jets quarterback. Call it a hunch more than anything. If he can cut down on the mistakes, you know, he can maybe be the best rookie quarterback to come out of this class. And I don't think there's a Deshaun Watson in this year's class. Lamar Jackson maybe has the best chance to be that sort of guy, but I don't think anybody has Watson's upside. But, you know, I really think that, you know, that Darnold might end up being the best pure passer of this rookie class.
And for me, Mark, I echo what Scott says. If you're in dynasty formats, go ahead and grab Lamar Jackson, okay? The upside, and you know, in these dynasty formats, you're looking for that upside that you could have for years. And to me, that's Lamar Jackson. His upside is Michael Vick plus. And the plus for me is because in 2018, offenses are played a lot differently. You know, quarterbacks have more space to run. It's a spread offense, the run pass options, that sort of thing. So in dynasty, I love Lamar Jackson. For this year, you know, I'm a Jets fan, so it warms my heart to hear what Scott Engel is saying about Darnold. I'll go separately. I'll go Rosen out there in Arizona, okay? I just don't have faith that Sam Bradford stays healthy. We hear in a lot of buzz that Rosen is like the most pro-ready. I think having Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson helps as far as weapons. I can see Rosen hitting the ground running earliest in the season for this year, but I echo Scott's thoughts in dynasty formats. It's all Lamar Jackson for me. Thanks for taking the call. Thanks for taking the time to holler at us, though, Mark, in Roto Experts in the Morning. Remember, the number to call is 844-843-6879 if you want to join the show. And don't forget, go on out there. Like, we are in Roto Experts in the Morning. We are bringing the package to life. We are bringing the website to life here on Roto Experts in the Morning. But if you want all the insight needed to win your leagues and win that cash, go on over to Roto Experts and get the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter the promo code THE KING at checkout and you will get a special discount. All right, Scotty, let's talk Major League Baseball for a hot second, okay? Because listen, sure. I know people are, you know, I know people are so focused on football, but yesterday, to be quite honest, is really, you know, Scotty, the most important day of the season after the All-Star game. You know what I mean? Like, in the second half of the season, yesterday was the most important day. There were a number of moves that happened. I don't know, Scott, maybe we just give a little, like, you know, quick reaction to each one that happened and see kind of the impact. Because there was a couple that straight up surprised me. All right, Scott, and I want to get your insight, especially on the ones that were surprising to me.
Sure.
And there are so the first one that was surprising to me was Jonathan Schoop going to the Milwaukee Brewers. Okay, and here's why: like, the Brewers must be deciding that they are going to try to beat people 10-8. You know, because I don't understand.
I think they're going to have the worst infield defense maybe of all time. They about a couple days ago, they got Moustakas from Kansas City. He's going to play third base. You know, they already have Travis Shaw. They're moving him from third to second. Now they're going to get Jonathan Scope. Is he going to play shortstop for them? What does that mean for, like, their defense? Well, how do you think the Brewers are approaching it? They're just going to try to bludgeon everybody?
They also were in the market for some pitching, but it didn't happen. You know, you right. heard names like Chris Archer and Matt Harvey being bounced around. But, you know, obviously, you know, they want to improve their offense. And, you know, Scope has really picked it up after a very, very slow start. This month alone, he's hitting .360 with 9 home runs and 19 RBIs and a .356 OBP. I got the chance to interview him when he was struggling earlier in the season. You know, it was just about patience right. for him. He knew he was a better player than that, and I believed he was a better player than that. You know, when you talk about the infield defense, you know, do you really worry about that for fantasy? No. It's just like what you worry about is Scope, you know, going over to the National League and, you know, really not being familiar with the pitching. And that could work two ways. I think it'll work probably more to the advantage of the hitter because, you know, the scouting reports won't be as comprehensive on him. So it's good for Jonathan Scope, I think, in the initial if you're playing in mixed league initially. But, you know, if you lost him in the player universe in a mono league, you know, you'd get him just while he was really starting to heat up. So it's a disappointment for that way. But if you're just talking right. from a pure baseball perspective, I think the Brewers, they felt they needed – their pitching is good enough, and they feel they'd be more pop to contend. That's why they got Moustakas and Scope, you know, because Ryan Braun's been getting hurt. You know, I think that the lineup needed more power, and that's what they got.
All right, so we shall see. I know one of the reasons we talk about the trading deadline a lot, Scott, is because, you know, people are moving their role in terms of the back end of the bullpen, right? That's a big change for a lot of teams. And Brad Ziegler was traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks. That affects maybe the closer situation in Miami. I know you were talking about Barraclough.
No, it doesn't.
No?
No, Barraclough's been the closer for like 2 months.
Okay, fair enough. So talk to me about what this means with Ziegler in Arizona. Do we expect him to horn in on guys like Boxberger or Bradley? Like, talk to me about some of these new closer opportunities that may be out there.
Yeah, there's nothing going on there whatsoever. The only other thing is we saw Jake Diekman was actually right. traded from Texas. So it could be Leclerc, with Claudio having an outside shot.
Okay, fair enough. And here's the last one that I want to ask you about. We can maybe touch on some others. Scott, in the last, 3 days, the Pittsburgh Pirates have looked themselves in the mirror and decided that they are buyers. You know, they went out and got Keon Keeler, right? Now they went out and win the Chris Archer sweepstakes as well. Yeah, they give up a guy like Glasnow, who maybe they don't believe can ever get his mechanics correct. But talk to me about why. Do you think it was a smart move for the Pirates to, like, be buyers instead of sellers this offseason? I mean, this
from a non-fantasy perspective, if I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, this team has been out of contention as long as the Dallas Cowboys. And I have to smile, you know, because I think it's not only a move for this year, but for the future, that this team is trying to play like it's a contender. You know, they're only 3 games out of the wild card. And what's interesting is that St. Louis is only 4.5 out of the wild card, yet they were sellers.
People.
Yes. But Archer, is going to come over to the National League, and I think it's good initially for him, like I was talking about with Scope, because, you know, he doesn't face a lot of these hitters regularly. You know, they don't have the same type of book on him. The Pirates, I think, are looking at now and beyond when you pick up a guy like Chris Archer. I think you got to be very encouraged if you're a Pittsburgh Pirates fan that this team's not all operating on a small market perspective anymore.
Okay, fair. So if you're a fan, you're encouraged that they are, you know, actually taking the steps to go for it and acting like one of the big boys. Yeah, no, I hear that.
They have a loyal fan
Absolutely.
Base. You just don't hear it about it a lot.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you this, that stadium that they made, that new stadium they have, is one of the most beautiful in all of baseball.
I want to see a game there.
Yeah, it's a nice stadium, and I will say this. You know, you say they haven't contended, and I hear you. There was that two-year stretch where they made it to the wild card game at least, and in those games, I think they were both in Pittsburgh. You saw their fans come out, so that's a fan base that's ready to support them if they do, in fact, take that step. So, hey, listen, Archer could be at the top of their rotation for years to come. He's got some other moves, you know, Leonis Martin to the Cleveland Indians. I think that's interesting. Yeah. Gausman to the Braves. Dozier to the Dodgers. Man, the Dodgers really got some power up the middle in the last week or two with him and Machado. Do any of these moves matter to you or others? I mean, tell me, do you have any more highlights or takeaways from all the moves we saw yesterday? It was an action-packed couple of hours.
Yeah, Martin, it was, you know, been a nice – waiver pickup early in the season.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some more runs scored, you know, in a better Cleveland lineup where he'll take over in center field, probably over Roger Davis. They were looking for center fielder. Gausman's been very up and down and erratic, and I don't know how much that changes in the National League after maybe like an initial surge. But the Braves, you know, they want to contend, and, you know, they needed to get a piece, and there wasn't great pitching out there. You know, then the other move, Dozier, you know what you get. You're going to get pop, you're going to get speed, but the batting average is going to be a drain. And then, you know, you look at the Yankees getting Lance Lynn. You know, he's been very up and down. J.A. Happ is now out with foot and mouth disease right when the Red Sox series is supposed to come up, you know. And you look at the Yankees, you know, and there are a lot of, like, Yankee fans, you know, especially, like, in their arrogance, they're assuming that the Yankees are going to win the American League. You know, they did get J.A. Happ, who's a good pitcher, but Lance Lynn is up and down. You know, if I was a Yankee fan, I'd be a little disappointed in what they came away with at the deadline. And if you're talking about, like, oh, we got Britton and we just, you know, we have to get to the bullpen, you know, you got to get through your starters to get to the bullpen. You know, I think the Yankees pitching is going to be a real issue, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, you know, because a lot of teams, you know, that they're going to face, especially if they face the Mariners in a one-game set. You know, you talk about the Brewers trying to outscore people. You know, when you talk at James Paxton against Masahiro Tanaka, my money's on Paxton.
Yeah, is it still on Paxton if it's Luis Severino, though?
If Severino doesn't bounce, I wonder if there's something health-wise wrong with Severino.
He hasn't been as good lately. That is absolutely true.
And if he's healthy, I will put Severino over Paxton. But, you know, then you say, okay, let's say they beat the Mariners, which is not easy to predict because the Mariners are a damn good team. You know, once they get into the series against one of those teams with deeper pitching, they're in trouble.
Yeah, listen, Scotty, you know I'm a Yankee fan, but I have not been talking like that for a while. I do not think it is a fait accompli that they win the American League. To be quite honest, I do not think they are the favorites. You know, like, I think Houston, and to be honest, people are not talking as much as I think they should about the damn Cleveland Indians. I really believe that the Cleveland Indians are solid. You know what they have offensively. They're going to have three guys hit 40 home runs this year between Encarnacion, Lindor, and Jose Ramirez, who still does not get the pub that he deserves. And then when you talk about, like, I know it's not at the same quality as the Astros four, but when you talk about Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, and Clevinger, those are four guys that, to me, you know, when you talk about putting them up against the Yankees rotation, or to be quite honest, even against the Boston rotation, now that Chris Sale, and that shoulder discomfort is a major red flag to me. Shoulder issues are never good, especially for a lanky, jerky guy like Sale. I think there's value with the Cleveland Indians as well. Remember, they traded for Brad Hand. They're getting Andrew Miller back in that pen in the next week or two. I think there's value with the Cleveland Indians in the AL, personally, Scott.
Yeah, and, you know, this is why, you know, I enjoy, you know, listening to you and talking to you, because you're balanced. Look, I'm not saying that, you know, the Yankees can't win the American League, but if you listen to the show after us, you know, you could swear that the Yankees are like the 98 Yankees and no other team exists in baseball except for the Red Sox, who are a little annoying. You know, I think there are a lot of people who follow the Yankees and support them who assume that they're going to the World Series, that the ticket's already written. You know, you have to play this out. And, you know, their pitching just doesn't look as good as it. Look, they still could win the American League. I'm not saying it, but, you know, it's not the easy gateway that some other shows on this network make it seem to be.
Yeah, I will say this, you know, I don't care who they're facing. If the Yankees have a 1 or 2 run lead after six, I'm happy. You know, I'll lock it in the books.
Right.
I do think they have the best bullpen in the game, right? But
I'm not debating that, but you got
to. You're right.
You have to get there. I've seen
you
it.
You got to get J. through five or six.
Yeah. I've seen Jay Happ and Lance Lynn get just completely bombed.
I was talking about this. I've been saying, you heard me say it. What I wanted for the Yankees, I wanted a legit big-time game two starter, someone who could be 1A with Severino. They didn't get that, okay? They went the other route. Guys like Happ, guys like Lynn. You know, similar, to be quite honest, Scott, what they tried a couple years ago with Sonny Gray. You know, they're trying to take a hope on maybe a guy with upside or a guy that could maybe eat innings. And that's not going to do it for me. To be quite honest, if I'm in the ALCS in game three, I'm trusting CC Sabathia with the ball ahead of, you know, Lance Lynn, right? So the only thing I wanted as a Yankee fan was someone who I could put ahead of CC, ahead of Tanaka in a game two kind of situation, and they didn't get that. I'm still in a playoff series right now. I'm going Severino, Tanaka, and CC, and when you measure up that against the Houston or the Cleveland rotation, in my opinion, you know, it doesn't stack up. Now, the bullpen is there, but they got to get there, and the offense should be fine, but listen, there will be no Aaron Judge for the foreseeable future. Gary Sanchez is, you know, on the DL with a bruised ego, in my opinion. And, you know, so there's reason to, you know, not be so happy in Yankee land. I will say this, however, the Chris Sale to the DL, Scotty, that's a big, that could be very, very big for Boston.
Yeah, but you're talking about with Judge and Sale. They'll both be back for the playoffs. My final point about is that, you know, it's one thing to think that they're going to contend. Sometimes the overconfidence is ridiculous.
I hear you. And that's why they play the games. We still have 2 more months left in the season.
Yep.
All right. And remember, listen, one of the things we just talked about at the trade deadline, a lot of new closer situations going on. Okay. So please go on over to Roto Experts. I know George Kurtz always does a great article.
Closer report will be up today. Yes.
Yeah. And this is probably one of the most important ones to watch for, because there is a lot of moving and shaking. Maybe some 1 or 2 more deals after this with the waiver deadline. But these guys would have to go through waivers for any more moves, so it's less likely you're going to see them. All right, Scotty, we got team names to go through, okay? We got team names to go through. We didn't get to it yesterday, so I want to bounce a few off you. I think as time goes on, we're getting better and better ones, right? And people can always hit us up at 844-843-6879. You can always follow us and hit us up on Twitter at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty RotoX. If you have any suggestions, I had some people giving me suggestions as well, Scotty, on Fantasy Freestyle with the Stats Overbeat Cypher yesterday on the Fantasy Sports Network. So let me bounce some off of you, okay? Let me bounce some off of you and see what you like, all right? See if any of them you like. First one I want to talk about, our guy John Beardsley over here. He's got a little pun with Aaron Rodgers, and he goes, err on the side of caution. What do you think about that one? Err on the side of caution from John Beardsley.
Doesn't make the cut.
What do you think about Alvin and the Chipmunks? Chip in quotation marks, like winning a championship. Alvin and the Chipmunks from Derek Davis.
Not bad, but doesn't, you know, pit it. No.
Not bad, but doesn't make the cut. And right now, remember, Scotty, I think your bottom one, it looks like you're adjusting it a little bit right now, but at the bottom end of you, you know, we got things like make this house my homes, henne a la vodka. So that's what we're trying to beat in your top five, at least. All right. What about, we got two with, you know, Saints running back Alvin Kamara to bounce off you. The first one is Derek Davis. He hit me up on Twitter yesterday. Big shout out to him. He's part of the Stats Overbeat Cypher. And, you know, the great video game, right? With Mario and Luigi. What about the Kamario brothers?
I like that.
The Kamario brothers, like the Mario brothers?
Yeah, I like that.
You like that? Do you like it more than make this house my homes?
No. What's the guy's name again?
Derek Davis on Twitter. Hit
Derek
me up.
Davis. This is my new number five.
Yeah, okay. You're in the spreadsheet now, so I'm assuming that you're going to move it around. Okay, yep. Derek Davis, big shout-out, the Camario brothers. And then also we got another one involving Alvin Kamara that I see you put in. I don't know, Scotty, though, because this one, I don't think, like, in most formats, you're allowed to have this many characters in your team name. I think this is longer than you could ever fit in a team name, but taking Kamara on a Sunday drive, it's like taking the car out.
Yeah, it's cute, but it's trying a little too hard. It's not quite as long as John Georgopoulos, you know, Fantasy Sharks, but it's long. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're going to do that, I like the Camario brothers for Kamara better, or even Alvin and the Chipmunks, you know, for Alvin Kamara. A lot of options with Kamara. The last one I want to bounce off of you, Scott, this is actually my new number one. I really love it. We're talking about Leonard Fournette. What about For Netflix and Chill? Obviously off the term Netflix and Chill.
I like that a lot.
I like that a lot as well. Jimmy
How much
Martell,
do I like it? How much do I like it? It's probably my new number five, and Camario Brothers gets bumped out.
Ah, the Camario Brothers has a very short stay in Scott Angle's top
Who is that from?
A guy named Jim Martell. Jim Martell, one of my followers on Twitter, hits me up a lot. He direct messaged me this right after Fantasy Freestyle.
Yeah. So my top five right now is my Ingram toenail hurts. Well, actually, my Ingram toenail hurts is going to move to number three. Jimmy G spots my new number one. Sometimes I change my mind on these. Then Hedy Outlet Vodka, Make This House Mahomes, and For Netflix and Chill.
Okay, that's a very strong top.
But
five.
I have one that like I think may be my new number one. If you haven't heard it yet,
no, I haven't. What is it?
Okay, from Taylor Bryson, Stairway to Evans is not
Stairway
the one
to
that
Evans.
Hit. I think my new one, number one from Taylor Bryson, who's now going to have two in my top three, is Carry On My Wayward Son.
Carry On Dante?
I just wanted to play this in case you didn't know what classic rock song this was based off of, Dane.
I couldn't name it for you, but I've heard it before.
Yeah.
Is it Kiss? I'm gonna go guess it's Kiss.
No, it's Kansas.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Who was that? Stairway to Evans and Carry On My Wayward Son. Who was that submitted those?
Taylor Bryson. I'm moving my Ingram toenail hurts, his other one, to my new number three, and Carry On My Wayward Son is my new number one.
Yeah, they know how to play to the bass right there. Taylor Bryson knows how to impress the king, Scott Angle. Taylor Bryson coming through with him, right? Had My Ingram Toenail Hurt, Stairway to Evans, and Carry On My Wayward Son. I think he's really got the feel of this. We're going to have to figure this out. Remember, though, we got a full month, okay? Scotty, what I think we should do on this is, you know, as we head into the Labor Day weekend, maybe, we'll figure out the poll. Right? The best four for the poll, right? And then we could have it up all Labor Day weekend. This way, when we come back on that Tuesday, which will be the beginning of week one of the regular season, we'll be able to announce it, to be able to give someone a package. And I know you've also graciously offered that you will help set their lineup 1 week of the fantasy football season, correct?
Yes. For Netflix and Chill, I liked, and it was tough to kick it out of my top five, but it's just not everybody can make it.
That's all right. Fair enough. I have For Netflix and Chill still in there. That's why we have a lot of sources, okay? We're also going to let the guys down in the pit of misery dilly-dilly to them. The producers are guys like Chris Bavona down there, JP the Night Owl. We'll let them have some nominations as well, which ones they like the best. Eventually, going into the Labor Day weekend, we'll put them all in a poll, and then we put it over the holiday weekend. We'll put it as a poll for like 3 days, so we have a real chance for people to say what they think is their best. And then that's how we'll declare the winner. That's how we'll declare the winner of the contest.
Our two, three, and four are all the same. Our five is different, but you know, you're being biased because like your number five has a jet in there, you know, Bilal Wright. So
we'll see. There's a lot of time for people to get bumped. I think Bilal Wright will get bumped eventually, but We shall see. Hey, Scotty, tomorrow we're going to break down the potential of an actual football game. I'm as excited as Tim Tebow at a press conference for that. Talk to you tomorrow. Okay, Scotty, have a great day.
Can you feel it?
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez, and now we have the number one accuracy ranker in the business. It's my guy, the all-in kid, Jake Seely, receiving the hot tag for hour two here on Roto Experts in the Morning. Jake, how you doing, brother man? How does it feel to be number one?
Oh, I thought there was more to it.
Just number one, brother man.
I mean, well, I thought that you wanted to like classify number one of what, but if you want to just say number one of everything, that's cool.
Well, I didn't say number one of everything.
Well, you just said number one. You didn't quantify the number one. It's just I'm number one. There you go.
Fair enough, brother man. You know, you are the number one accuracy ranker in the business. And don't forget, you can get those accuracy ranks at the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter the promo code ALLINKID at checkout for you to get everything you need to win your leagues and win that cash. We're going to dive into some of what Jake has to say because, listen, we talk about this all the time, Jake, like the hate going a little bit too far. People have this recency bias about people that maybe did not perform last year. We're going to see some of those who may be primed to bounce back a little bit later on in the hour where we look at Jake Seely's, kind of the target, the 2017 trash that he is going to target. You can find that in the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Here's what we're going to do, though. Let's look some news and notes real quick, all right? First thing I want to ask you about, Can you help me make sense of this Oakland wide receiver situation? Okay, like Amari Cooper is up to 225 pounds. They're saying Jordy Nelson, quote unquote, can still run. We know Martavis Bryant has like this weird cloud hanging over him from the NFL and discipline. Did he fail a test? Did he not? That sort of thing. You know, and all of this is now under the new scheme of Gruden, right, who we don't know if we can trust. Jake, help me make sense of this Oakland wide receiver core. I think Jordy is washed. You know, is he going to heavily target Amari Cooper like we've seen with wide receiver ones in this offense before? Read the tea leaves for me in Oakland as per the wide receivers.
I don't know any chance or any time in history where we've had somebody bulked up and we saw a great season after that. Like that, I don't ever like hearing bulked up with anybody. That was part of the reason I said I wasn't thrilled to hear it about Christian McCaffrey. Fortunately for
Aaron Jones, even.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey's only like 6 pounds, so it's not a huge difference. But it's still, you know, we're talking about muscle, too. And, you know, muscle for 6 pounds of muscle versus 6 pounds of fat, maybe he's going to be a little less quick twitch, which is exactly what you want Christian McCaffrey to be, is quick twitch. So that's just a little bit of a concern. It concerns me more, especially with the wide receiver being as big as that. You know, this we kind of heard similar things last year. Is he trying to be Anquan Boldin? If he's going to be Anquan Boldin, it takes a little bit of what his game is away from.
He needs to catch the ball then.
Right. Anquan Boldin. But that's really what it comes down to. The biggest problem with Amari Cooper has always been inconsistency. He goes off for 1 week and disappears for five. He's the new DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson was the new Santana Moss. Santana Moss. I mean, we can go down the road from there. It's always somebody else, and that's why I never owned Amari Cooper. And last year, Corey knows this, Corey Parsons of this network, I said he was a poor man's Brandon Cooks, and the truth was he was, and he is, and now there's potential, there sure is. Don't look, if he's at the end of the year and he's a top 12 wide receiver, I would not be surprised because he's getting targeted that much, and this offense features him that much. At the same time, it would surprise me if it's the same old Amari Cooper. The more interesting part to me comes down to what I think is going to happen. As long as Martavis Bryant avoids the suspension, I actually think he's going to outscore Jordy Nelson this year. Jordy Nelson is toast.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, Jordy Nelson is washed. The other thing I would say with that, and tell me if you buy this. You know, a lot of Jordy Nelson's production when he did have it, I think, comes on the strength of chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. You know, also like back shoulder things, you know, looking at each other at the line, stuff like that. It's going to take time, and it's going to take time to build that with a new quarterback. You think that's fair?
It's quite possible, but I don't know that it's really going to help much for the fact that he doesn't have much left.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm adding to the argument that I would.
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, on top of it, I'm just saying, like, even if he had chemistry from day one, I know you're adding to it, but I'm saying even if he had that chemistry, I still don't know that it matters, just because I don't know if he has anything left, even if the chemistry was there.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, and when you mentioned Bryant, I agree. Like, this guy has the potential to kind of be explosive. And listen, isn't Martavis Bryant, like, Al Davis in his grave would love a guy like Martavis Bryant, right? You know, for the deep ball kind of idea. So we'll see about that, but it will be interesting. I think Martavis Bryant, if he avoids, you know, the inconsistent application of the rules by the NFL, could be interesting. He might represent the best value. Let me ask you, though, about wide receiver Doug Baldwin up there in Seattle. Jake, you know, I mean, they're saying he's going to keep him out for a couple of weeks because of quote-unquote knee soreness. Now, listen, Doug Baldwin is a veteran. I know he can miss some camp and be just fine. But the way I think about it is this, Jake. I mean, we talk about it, you know, we made fun of it in June and in early July. Like, everyone's in the best shape of their life at this point of the season. So the fact that Doug Baldwin is not already, and that it's a knee that could linger, I mean, you know, I clearly talked about this with Scott last hour, and he had a perspective. I'm looking to you for maybe a slightly different perspective on Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Doug Baldwin. What's your level of concern with this news about Baldwin and his knee?
Like a 7? They said it's weeks, and that's the biggest issue, is multiple weeks for the knee, and the guy's 30 years old. So I do not see how anybody out there is just dismissing this as like, whatever, it'll be fine, because this is a significant concern. If I'm drafting today, this is completely different than the LeSean McCoy situation. This is completely different than Josh Gordon. Like I told you, LeSean McCoy, I'm not moving until I hear more. Josh Gordon, I moved a little bit. It's hard to change his projections, but I will wait to draft him because he might just not play. This is now you can move him down because you're adding an injury concern. This isn't like, oh, well, is he going to be suspended and miss the first 3 weeks and come back and play? Or is he going to be, you know, this is, Doug Baldwin might not be 100% this entire season.
Yeah, so I'm looking at your ranks right now up on rotoexperts.com.
I haven't updated them yet.
Fair enough, but let's just play a little name game. It's all good. What I'm seeing, Jake, is that you have him around I'm seeing as you have him as wide receiver 13, right behind Larry Fitzgerald, right ahead of AR-15, Allen Robinson. You're now taking Robinson ahead of Baldwin?
Sorry, my mouth got a little dry. I took a drink of water. Yeah,
absolutely. Hey, you got to be hydrated, Jake. You got to be hydrated.
I'll take Allen Robinson, no question.
All right, Demaryius Thomas after that.
Yeah, I would still take Demaryius Thomas.
Stephon, can you dig it?
All right,
fair enough. No, I'm not going to keep going. You know, I just wanted to bump him down a couple of points because I wanted to get to Stephon Diggs, Jake, because Stephon Diggs got paid yesterday. He signed an extension with Minnesota. They're saying it's around in the same range as Brandon Cooks. I mean, a lot of these wideouts are getting paid this offseason. You know, we got Diggs. You had Watkins get paid. You had Evans get paid. You know, others as well. Odell Beckham still on deck potentially. Here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you two questions off of this. First, we'll stay in Minnesota with Diggs. Listen, Jake, you know, we talk about this all the time when there's like two guys we think are going to be similar that we like generally, maybe the more value in the guy who's going later. This is a kind of high class first world order problem with the wide receivers in Minnesota, but people love Adam Thielen. I'm seeing generally people go take Adam Thielen, I don't know what, maybe four wide receivers ahead of Stephon Diggs. Like, to me, there's no reason to automatically assume that Thielen's going to be the most productive wide receiver in Minnesota this year. Like, there's a universe where it's Stephon Diggs. And I know, tell the people, because, you know, I know you've mentioned this before, but we may have new listeners now that people are really getting ready for fantasy football. Talk to us again about why, where they line up in Minnesota, specifically who might find himself in the slot. Why is that what you're looking for in the wide receivers in Minnesota as it relates to Diggs and Thielen?
Yeah, well, there's no telling who could be the better one. I mean, Stephon Diggs has put up better numbers 2 years ago. Adam Thielen put up better numbers last year. So it's kind of, it could be either way. And the fact that when you look at it is the arrival of Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins is better throwing to his slot receiver, on top of the fact that the slot receiver is more often than not going to see a better matchup than the outside receiver. And so if Adam Thielen's spending time in the slot 30-40% of the time like he was last year, I think Thielen's going to have the better season than Diggs, because Cousins also struggles throwing to his wide outs, and he showed that a lot last year, including, granted, people will blame some of it on Josh Doxon, but some of it's just that's how Kirk Cousins always has been, is he's overly aggressive and struggles with some of those throws. So now if Diggs sometimes sees times, if they both see 20%, then it's probably a toss-up, and it could be Diggs as a better wide receiver if, you know, the Thielen's spending a ton of time on the outside and Kendall Wright's in the slot. So now it's that situation. It could really break any kind of way. The only telling thing that we'll really have is if one of them spending more time than the other in the slot.
Yeah, so that will be something. Is that something, Jake, is that something that you can trust your eyes on in preseason? Like, you know, when the starters are out there for three series in a preseason game two or something like that, is that something that you can make meaning out of from watching the preseason?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You got to find out who wins the third wide receiver job and who's getting used in the slot.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, sometimes when we talk about, like, oh, this guy is running with the ones at practice, you know, stuff like that, you're like, maybe we just need to see what he can do in that situation, and that's not necessarily indicative of the future. But actual preseason games, where they line up, that's like, you know, we think that's a better chance of the tea leaves to read. So that's definitely when the Vikings play, something to look for, because that guy in the slot for Kirk Cousins could be a very interesting, I don't know if it's a value because you're looking at both of these guys like right on the, oh, I don't know, back end wide out one, high end wide out two kind of area. But, you know, I mean, that could lead to more production up there in Minnesota. Jake, a couple more wide receivers that I don't know that they move the needle for fantasy, so I'll give you that disclaimer, but I'm trying to see if there's any reasons why. The Saints signed Michael Floyd yesterday. Does that give you any cause for concern around maybe Cam Meredith's recovery or anything like that?
No.
This doesn't move the needle, right? Like,
no.
We would still believe in Brandon Coleman even over this kid, over Floyd?
No. Means nothing.
Do you think he's going to make the 53-man roster?
No.
Okay, well, there it does it. If he ain't on the 53-man roster, then he ain't going to be viable for fantasy, I tell you that right now. What about, I'm hearing news that Eric Decker working out for the Pats. Does that matter to you at all?
Nope.
Even with maybe the suspensions to Edelman? Could this be a first 4 weeks kind of thing?
No. Because they're already talking about that Jordan Matthews might not make the team. If Jordan Matthews doesn't make the team, Eric Decker's not going to come in and make the team.
If Jordan Matthews were to not make the team, then who would?
They're talking about Philip Dorsett.
They're like Dorsett. I also know they drafted a kid out of Miami, right? Berrios, maybe? Berrios,
Braxton,
who they kind of like?
Braxton Berrios. No. Philip Dorsett's been showing up well so far.
Okay, so maybe he's the guy to think about, and he could be that kind of slot guy maybe in that Edelman role in the early part of the season?
I mean, that's what they're looking for, but that's not exactly Dorsett's best
skill
feature
set.
But I mean, it's where they like what he sees so far. So again, it's training camp news, and you're gonna have to, this is why, you know, don't overdraft Jordan Matthews and get caught up into the hype. There's excitement. Sure, if you want to spend your last round pick on a dice roll in Jordan Matthews, go right ahead. If you want to take a chance on Dorsett, go right ahead. But until we get to like week two or three of the preseason, it's going to be hard to tell right what's going to be the outcome for the receivers.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Jake, are there any pieces of news from yesterday that maybe fell through the cracks for me that you actually do think moved the needle? Anything you heard in your travels yesterday that you want to bring to the listeners here on Roto Experts in the Morning?
No, not really.
All right, fair enough. I'm just making sure that, you know, because sometimes you're cued in to things, you know, that don't rate for me. So I just wanted to see if there was anything that struck your fancy before we move on. But move on we shall here on Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I want to tell you guys, listen, you need to go and get the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, okay? You're going to get all sorts of rankings, all sorts of content. And one of the articles is by my man Jake Seeley. And here's the thing, Jake, you mentioned Corey Parsons a little bit earlier in the show. One of the things I always hear the fantasy executives say is that he's in on last year's trash. And conceptually, I like that too, because, you know, especially the casual fan, they have recency bias so much, Jake. You know, they look at just last year. I like to kind of look at like a 3-year span, if you want to know the truth, if you have that much of a track record, right? To really kind of see where you are, because so many things change from year to year. Strength of schedule changes, the composition of the team changes, you know, but I really like to look more than 1 year. First, before we dive into any of these players, can you talk to me about the danger of the recency bias and just and eschewing the trash of last year, people who underperformed last year? For example, like, why conceptually is this a decent strategy to look at people who maybe defecated the mattress last year?
Well, it's just because everybody gets ticked off and doesn't want to go back to somebody that burned them before. And just because somebody had one all season or an injury or something happened doesn't mean that they don't have any fantasy value anymore. So people get, it's like real life. People get mad at people and then they don't want to go back and give them a second chance.
All right. Well, I'm glad you gave me a second chance, Jake, as we're here on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's look at some quarterbacks, okay? In the quarterbacks that you talk about here in terms of bounce back, you know, one of the guys you mentioned is Eli Manning, Jake. And remember, last time we brought up Eli Manning, I think we brought up Overton's window, Jake, right? About how passing yardage has kind of evolved so that Eli Manning can bounce back maybe to say, oh, I don't know, 4,100, 4,200 yards. And that could still not be in the top 10 in the NFL in passing yards this year because of the way we have moved to a passing league. But, you know, if you like, it's the same kind of thing as Ben Roethlisberger on some level. If you like Antonio Brown, if you like Le'Veon Bell, right? So in New York, if you like Saquon, Odell, Ingram, Shepard, you know, you got to like the Shepard of the fantasy herd, and that's Eli Manning. Tell me why you think Eli Manning might be able to bounce back this year.
It comes down to the weapons. It's going to be like I tweeted retweeted the tweet by Rich, and I know, look, I don't even have Eli Manning in my top 14. But the point of his tweet was that no quarterback has ever finished in fantasy with an RB1, a wide receiver one, and a tight end one, and not finished as a QB14 or better. And the reason that Eli Manning doesn't crack the top 14 is because he has no rushing yards. I have him for over 4,000 yards bouncing back. I have him for close to 26, 27 touchdowns, and that's with bouncing back. That's a great season compared to what he's done for the last 2 years. So you go back to the 4,430 touchdown seasons that he had. I don't think obviously he gets quite to that, but 4,227 touchdowns, that's a pretty daggone good season. It's just that in this day and age, in fantasy, that doesn't get you into the top 14 without any rushing. He has zero rushing. So you have to talk about 4,227 touchdowns. 4,025 is kind of, who cares? Everybody does that now.
Right.
But the point being, 4,227, if he's doing that, is going to have probably fringe QB1 value because you got to factor in, yeah, I have him at 20 or 21st by projections. But now let's talk about injuries, people potentially losing their jobs, all that type of stuff. He'll probably, if he has those numbers, finish more around QB 15, 16, just because of the attrition across the position. So QB 15, 16 means he's startable for a couple games throughout the season in most leagues. And in Superflex, he's definitively a quality or QB2.
Fair enough. Can I give you my nominee for a quarterback position to bounce back to kind of target, who's so far down, maybe a little bit higher than the Eli Manning in certain ranks? Jake, what about Matt Ryan? Listen, I mean, second year in the Sarkisian offense, we know he's got weapons. This is a former NFL MVP. You know what I mean? Like, why can't Matt Ryan throw for 4,300 yards, you know, and 27 touchdowns this year? He had a little bit of, I guess, a down year last year. But this is, you know, this is a quarterback who got paid. This is a quarterback who is growing in a new system. You know, second year in the Sarkisian system, they support him by getting Calvin Ridley. You know, we know about the weapons, the Julios, the Freemans, the Colemans, the Sanus of the world. Like, I kind of think the hate has gone too far on Matt Ryan. I think he's a safe bet for low 4,000s as well. Tell me, do you have any, you know, do you buy me putting Matt Ryan in this category?
No, because it's too obvious. He's still being drafted as the 13th quarterback off the board.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're thinking, oh, really? I've seen Matt Ryan a lot further down. I've seen Matt Ryan as low as quarterback 16, 17, Jake.
He might have go there, but that's his ADP is 13. That's
okay.
I mean, he's still being drafted as almost a QB1, so that's why I didn't talk about Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan will. Okay. I don't disagree with you. Matt Ryan will bounce back this year, but I didn't use him because that's not really a huge last year's trash type of. If somebody's going to draft you as a fringe QB1, yeah.
I got
people
you.
Are,
okay, got
people
you.
Are. The point is, people are buying back in. They're not treating him like trash. They're not saying no. I don't right. want to draft Matt Ryan. There's
okay,
a lot of people
enough.
Thinking the same as you.
Would you go so far as to put Matt Ryan in that category that we talk about all the time of why we wait on quarterback? You know, like with the Rivers and the Staffords and the Big Bens and the Lux of the world. Are you comfortable waiting? And then if you got to go double dip, maybe a Patty Mahomes and a Matt Ryan. Patty Mahomes for the upside, Matt Ryan for the stable floor.
Yeah, if I was going to double dip, I wouldn't want to wait. And like I'll wait and make Matthew Stafford my only quarterback. I won't wait and make Matt Ryan my only quarterback.
Okay. If you did, right, you would have to double dip, though, right?
I'd want to, yeah.
All right, fair enough. Let's move to the running back position a little bit, Jake. I am intrigued by your running back position. This is a guy I personally drafted last year, and then in the middle of the season, I flipped him for a need to help me, you know, win a championship. We're talking about Cincinnati Bengals running back Joe Mixon. Talk to me. Is it the new offensive coordinator? Is it Bill Lazor, as in Austin Powers? Is it the return of maybe, John Ross to stretch the defense and give more holes to run in? Or is it just the natural progression of Joe Mixon himself? Well, we know the talent is there. Why is Joe Mixon in this category for you?
Yeah, because the talent is there. And they addressed the offensive line. It's not going to be terrific, but they drafted Billy Price. They got healthy. So it's going to be better than it was last year. But last year, it was 31st, 32nd in the league. This year, you know, you get back to 22nd, 20th in the league is actually a huge jump compared to how trash it was last year. So the offensive line isn't as bad. And if you look at Joe Mixon, I keep telling people this, is he kind of fell into the Marlon Mack trap where he tried to do too much with every single play because he is talented, because he saw the struggles the team's having. And he finally started to kind of realize that the balance of using your ability and also learning to play in the NFL. And you saw that during the final couple games where he actually averaged 5 yards per carry. So Joe Mixon, to finish out the season, kind of got the groove of the NFL. His talent is still there. If you look at it, the team drafted what? Mark Walton, who is a Giovanni Bernard clone, not a Joe Mixon clone. So to me, this tells me, hey, you know what? The team's still heavily invested as Joe Mixon as their guy. So I'm looking for Joe Mixon to potentially be even an RB1 this year.
Okay, fair enough. Listen, you mentioned Giovanni Bernard, and it's interesting. We don't talk about him much, Jake. You know, talk to me about Bernard real quick up against like these other pass catching backs. You know, he fits right into that kind of prototype, a PPR kind of pass catching back. But he's not talked about as much as, you know, the Thompsons and the Riddicks of the world. And I understand that he may be a step down from them in this mold, in this archetype. But I also remember, Jake, that you and I both think that it doesn't necessarily end well for the Bengals this year. So maybe I'm crazy, but what about the narrative that they're going to be in their no-huddle passing personnel in the second half a little bit more? Is that Giovanni Bernard on the field? Like, we've seen him play this role. Talk to me about Giovanni Bernard vis-a-vis other PPR kind of backs. Why haven't we mentioned him much so far?
Because he's inconsistent every single year. He's not used consistently every single game. Where you can say, hey, in a PPR, I can rely on him. Even down the stretch last year, it was the only time they even started getting real carries. It's usually 2, 3, maybe 4. But that's the same thing as the receiving. He's not out there like Theo Riddick catching 5 and 6 more often than not, or Duke Johnson doing the same thing. Just look at last season. He didn't even have over 3 receptions until week 10. So that's why we don't talk about Giovanni Bernard in that fashion.
Okay, do you think that is still going to be the case? Is there any cause for optimism based on what we're seeing out of Cincinnati? You know, you mentioned the offensive line improvements. No, so he's still kind of as a second-tier PPR kind of back, if that's what you're looking for. As we move on to wide receiver real quick, Jake, I know you have a number of names, so I don't want to take us, let everybody see all of your insights, because they do have to go to the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package to get it. But one guy that you talk about who I think is interesting is with this Washington football team, Josh Dotson. You know, I'm intrigued by Dotson, although he also had his own issues. And then, Jake, here's the other part of it for me. They go out and get Paul Richardson in the offseason, right? And Paul Richardson, I saw a number of times Russell Wilson chuck a deep ball up to Paul Richardson, and he came down with it. Does Paul Richardson, or to what extent does Paul Richardson compromise the value of Josh Dotson? Because when we talk about, you know, the different roles of wide receivers, we know the role Jamison Crowder's playing. We know about those tight ends over the middle. These outside guys are going to probably be Dotson and Richardson out there in our nation's capital. Talk to me about the potential for Josh Dotson to bounce back, and do you feel threatened at all by the addition of Paul Richardson?
Yeah, you have to. It's just going to come down to who wins the job, because we know that what Jamison Crowder is going to do, it just comes down to, is Paul Richardson going to be the number one, or Josh Dotson is going to be the number one? Or are they going to go 50-50 and almost like a timeshare with wide receivers? So that's going to be something to monitor. I still think Josh Dotson is the one I want to own, especially for the red zone usage, but we also have a different quarterback this year. So this is one of those situations I'm not going to tell you today, because I don't know. This is one of those ones you have to watch.
All right, fair enough. So another reason to watch some preseason games that will be started. Jake, can you believe we have preseason football tomorrow?
That's not preseason football.
The Hall of Fame. I mean, listen, people are going to get hurt. You know, someone's going to get hurt tomorrow.
Not anybody that matters. That's what I'm saying.
Hopefully not.
No, the starters don't even play in the Hall of Fame games. Tomorrow doesn't matter.
Maybe one series we'll see these guys. Maybe.
No, they don't play. I'm telling you, they don't play. Most of them don't even play in the Hall of Fame game.
All right, fair enough. What I do want to do, though, tomorrow, Jake, is whether they're playing in those games or not, maybe it is a good opportunity to look at the Chicago Bears and to look at the Baltimore Ravens, just in terms of, like, you know, camp storylines or position battles or what we're looking forward to for those two teams, whether those starters are on the field or not, in specifically tomorrow's game. But maybe we shine a light on the Bears and the Ravens and kind of some of these camp storylines that we're watching to get people ready for the Hall of Fame game. It is the Bears and the Ravens, because they'll be inducting two great middle linebackers of the previous generation, Brian Urlacher and, of course, Ray Lewis. So that'll be a little bit tomorrow. All right, Jake. And if you want to bet on preseason, you can, in fact, do that over at mybookie.ag. Jake, betting on preseason, opportunity for value or a clear sign that you're a degenerate?
Clear sign that you lost your mind.
Yeah, absolutely, right? I don't get it either. I once heard my guy, Benny Riccardi, who I love as the 1099 OG, he told me that playing preseason DFS, if you're like tuned into the beat writers and you know which guys are going to get like the entire second half, that there's value there, because you'll see who's on the field for snaps and potential.
Yeah, that's DFS. Yeah.
You buy that? That there is an opportunity not to generate habits?
No, the DFS, absolutely.
All right, fine. So maybe we'll talk about that a little bit as well. But when we come back here on Roto Experts in the Morning, listen, there were a lot of trades in Major League Baseball yesterday. I want to hear what moves the needle for Jake Seeley in terms of that. And then we'll also have a little bit fun. We got some more fantasy football team names to bounce off the all-in kid. Come on right back. We put the fun in functional sports content. We'll also talk a little PGA golf with Colin Drew. A lot of stuff to do. Come on right back. Roto Experts in the Morning, the All-In Kid, and the Spitting Statistician.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards Program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
Sports Today.
Alvin Kamara, number one overall pick. That was always crazy to me. That type of efficiency is unlikely to repeat itself.
You're going to grab Kamara in round one. Where are you going to draft him? I don't know how you deal with guys who are suspended, Kev, but generally, I don't touch them. It's not so much that they get suspended. Fantasy-wise, he's missing pretty much half your regular season. That's the first problem. Second problem is this. We don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in.
Weekends, 9 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
When you're hiring, you don't want to waste time sorting through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want an efficient way to get to a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
Dad, what are you doing?
Cramming for college.
I'm the one going to college.
Yeah, but we need to figure out how we're going to pay for it all.
Discover student loans.
Discover does student loans?
Yeah, they're one of the top student loan lenders in the country. It takes 15 minutes or less to apply, and there are no fees for the life of the loan. Best of all, I can earn cash rewards if I get good grades.
Really?
Yeah, we still have time to apply and get a great rate.
So I can just chill. College kids still say that, right?
No one says that, Dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. Limitations apply.
Calling all drivers. Want a career that will take you places? Then Coach USA and Megabus is the place for you. Coach USA and Megabus, leaders in the local and intercity bus transportation industry, are looking for career-minded, conscientious drivers with a valid CDL Class A or B license with passenger endorsement. They offer paid training, competitive salary, and many benefits. Apply now and start driving to a better future. Visit CoachUSA.jobs. That's CoachUSA.jobs.
It's Carton and Friends.
He's going to have a conversation man-to-man, one-on-one with Osuna.
I don't know Justin Verlander. I do appreciate his stance. It's what everyone's stance should be on domestic abuse, of course. I do think that he will sit down with him because I don't think Verlander's going to hide from it, obviously.
No.
Plus, they spend all that time together. And he's probably going to say, look, I don't know you. I only know of you. I'll make my decision about you based on my own personal experience.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Welcome back. It is Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We got the all-in kid, Jake Seely. We got the spitting statistician, Dane Martinez. We're putting the fun in functional sports content. And I don't know how many times I have to tell you, but over at DailyRoto.com, they make millionaires. It does not matter what sport we're talking about. They give you what you need to win a little bit of cash. And as usual here on a Wednesday, we bring in our guy Colin Drew representing Daily Roto. We say it all the time in golf, that cash is just the same as any others. And Colin, if people were listening to you and following you last week, they would have got a little bit of cash, huh? How'd you do last week?
Yeah, it was a pretty big week last week. I ended up winning one of the $5 tournaments on DraftKings for $25K. Had another lineup come in third place in that tournament. So really big week. Had a lot of Dustin Johnson. I know we talked about him as one of the dominant favorites at the RBC Canadian Open. And like you said, it's still, you know, good old U.S. dollars back in the bank.
That's right.
At the Canadian Open.
That's right. They don't pay out in pesos just because it is golf. Listen, let's move forward, though, Colin. Like, we got the Bridgestone Invitational. Listen, I want to ask you something. Tiger Woods has won this tournament already, what, something like eight times, going for his ninth win in this tournament. And I watched him at the British Open. He was at the top of the leaderboard on the back nine on a Sunday. Is Tiger Woods back, Colin?
He's definitely back, at least as far as being one of the elite players in the world. He's not back as far as being the world number one. That definitely still belongs to Dustin Johnson, but he's going to be a guy that you have to keep your eyes on. He's going to be very popular this week because of his track record at this event. It's also the home of the last victory that he's had on tour in 2013. So Tiger should be pretty popular. One of the things I'm curious about is at the Open Championship, you're able to hit iron off the tee a lot, and I'm not sure you're going to be able to do that this week. 7,400 yard par 70 course, and it played as the fourth longest course in par adjusted distance on the tour. So you're going to have to be driving the ball well, whether it's with a long iron or a three wood. Curious to see if Tiger will be able to do that. He definitely used to be able to do that back in the day, and that's why he did so well here, but it'll be a fun tournament to watch.
It's also a tournament that doesn't have a cut line. So how does that change your strategy, whether it's cash or tournament and going, like, do you do anything differently?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of times when we talk about, you know, ownership, and we talk about maybe fading higher owned players, depending on their price tag. one of the benefits you're hoping to get from that is that the guy misses the cut and he wipes out all those lineups. And so that can happen even to the best players in the world. They have a couple bad rounds. Maybe they were going to bounce back on the weekend, but they're not around to play. So you don't get that benefit as far as fading some of the chalky players. You don't get any missed cuts. So it kind of wipes out one of the benefits of going a little bit more contrarian. So that's one angle I like to think about a little bit more in a no-cut event. And then the other thing is just the scoring environment. In this week particularly, there aren't a lot of eagles to be had, so the fantasy scoring is a little bit lower than normal. And the difference between the third-place finisher and the 10th-place finisher was the same last year as the difference between the 10th-place finisher and the 50th-place finisher. So you really need to do whatever you can to find golfers who are going to finish inside the top 5, the top 10. And if that means you take a lesser golfer down below, that's okay, because he's really not going to be separated that much in scoring. Whereas, you know, for the most part, if it's a cut event and a guy misses a cut, you know, he's going to finish way behind in DraftKings.
Fair enough. We're talking with Colin Drew over here representing DailyRoto.com. They make millionaires over there. Colin Drew became a thousandaire himself just last week. Here's what I want to ask you. You talk about these par fives. I mean, they got only one that's pretty much reachable, right? I see that one of these is the 16th hole is a 667-yard hole, which is absolutely ridiculous. Only a couple of par fives. So does that mean we're talking about, like, people with their, you know, with their short iron game? Is it strokes gained approach? What are we looking at because of the fact that this doesn't have many par fives and it's a different kind of course?
Yeah, it's definitely not a course that profiles for any specific type of golfer. It is so long that you do still need to be driving the ball in the fairway with adequate distance off the tee. Strokes gained approach is always kind of the number one statistic that if you look at any given leaderboard, you're seeing the golfers who finish inside the top five have elite strokes gained approach metrics for that year. And so I think that's kind of the way that you're going. But in this field, especially at the top end, like, all these guys can compete on a given basis. And so a lot of the times you're kind of just ciphering through the different price tags and as well as the ownership of the different golfers to figure it out. One of the guys at the top, besides Dustin Johnson, that we really like this week is Justin Rose. 59% odds to T20 in the daily golf probability is available at Daily Roto and is our second rated golfer in the field. I think he's going to be about half the ownership of Tiger Woods. And so we like Justin Rose as a pivot off of Tiger Woods, despite his track record at this event.
Well, let's go back to Dustin Johnson, though, really quick, because we saw last week, and obviously that's a big reason behind your win. And I remember last year, too, is we possibly in that stretch where it's almost like you have to start with Dustin Johnson and just build around him?
I certainly think you if you're building multiple teams, you want exposure to Dustin Johnson. And his price is high enough that I don't think his ownership is going to be out of control. One of the trends we've seen this year is that people have been hesitant to pay for golfers off of a win because they don't expect them to go back to back. But, right, you know, Dustin Johnson is still the favorite in this event. So I think that building tournament lineups around him is definitely the way to go. For cash games, you could pay up for Dustin Johnson. You could go down to someone like Justin Rose.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Colin, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, and I know next week we're going to have you on for a little bit longer because it is the final major of the year, right? We got the PGA Championship next week.
Yeah, PGA Championship next week, and then football season right around the corner. A lot of great stuff going on at Daily Roto for that as well. The tech team's built one of the best optimizers in the industry, and I'm really excited to see what the NFL product looks like this year. Obviously have all the content from Drew Dinkmeyer, Mike Leone, and plenty in store for NFL, but the golf's last major, so we'll do it right next week.
All right, sounds good, Colin. Thanks for spending a couple of minutes with us. As always, avoid the native area, and we're going to talk about the major next week, where maybe there's some more fish in the pond for us to attack and win thousands like you.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
All right, thanks a lot, Colin. Representing DailyRoto.com, where they make millionaires over there. Colin Drew cashing big time last week. You got to listen to what he says on a week-to-week basis. I also got to remind you guys, listen, there is still a chance to win two tickets to the 2018 World Series in our collaboration with DKMS. They're putting out free daily fantasy baseball every day. You can get insights on who to play, you know, over at DailyRoto.com. And we'll be sure to check in with Colin next week in advance of the final major of the season. But Jake, I do want to spend some time. We got about 10 minutes left here before we turn it over to Carton and Friends here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Listen, Jake, yesterday, there was a flurry of action. What I want to do is I want to bounce off of you the kind of things that I thought were the biggest, the ones that I have questions about, and then, you know, we can kind of take them rapid fire. But I'd love your knee-jerk reaction to some of these. I want to start with Jonathan Scope going to Milwaukee. Jake, I mean, they get Moustakas, you know, a few days ago, whatever. Now they're going to have Moustakas at third. That moves Travis Shaw over to second. They're going to play Scope at shortstop. Are we talking about, like, these guys are just going to try and beat people 10-8? Do they not care about defense in the infield at all, Jake? What do you think about this move?
No, I tweeted about it a lot yesterday, and okay. I don't understand what the Brewers are doing. The Brewers are honestly stupid, in my opinion. Like, they sent what they did for Scope, and they didn't go after Gausman or try to force the hand of the Mets with Zach Wheeler or right. go after one of the other pitchers. I wouldn't say even go get Lance Lynn, which was a couple of days ago, but they weren't even rumored to be in on him just to see if, hey, you know, maybe move into the National League. Point being is they need pitching. And everybody's like, oh, they have the second best ERA in the league. No, that's their entire team. Their starting staff is actually middle of the road. And when you look at the predictive ERAs like Sierra and XFIP and stuff like that, they're actually among the 10 worst in the league. So you're not winning a playoff series or a World Series with this pitching staff. The Brewers have a team that can contend. They need to get off their asses and make a trade for pitching help, and they didn't. And that's the dumbest thing is that now they're trying to figure out where to play everybody. Travis Shaw might even get platooned because of this now. That wasn't your problem.
Right, you didn't need that. That wasn't the issue. You had pop between Shaw, Jesus Aguilar. You know, you had power. I agree with you. I don't think they're going to try to outslug people, it looks like, but I don't think it's a good move. Jake, you mentioned the idea of the Milwaukee bullpen. That's brought down by the back end. You know, guys like Josh Hader, who we've talked about for a number of reasons, and, you know, Knebel and Jeffries having a good year as well. Their starters are an issue in a playoff series. What are they running out there? Zach Davies? Like, who are their three starters if they make it, you know, to the first round series?
I don't think he's even back yet. Somebody was trying to tell me yesterday. He's like, oh, we're getting Zach Davies and Jimmy Nelson back.
Junior Guerra? Who is it? Who are their three pitchers that they run out?
And Chase Anderson.
It's kind of crazy, you know, unless they're going to kind of try to beat people 10-8 or have a two-run lead going into the sixth. I'm with you, Jake. I don't see it. Let me ask you something else that I didn't truly understand, although I've heard some valid arguments about it. The Pirates getting Archer. Okay, now listen, the Pirates also got Keon Keela a couple of days ago. So to me, it's like, okay, they looked themselves in the mirror and they decided that they were going to be buyers in this. Talk to me about that strategy, or is it just that they like Archer, who's kind of under team control, you know, replacing a guy like Garrett Cole, who they lost in the offseason? Help me make rhyme or reason out of what the Pirates did getting Archer.
I think it's both. They're still in the wild card hunt, and unlike the Brewers, they said, you know what, let's go for it and see what we can do. Let's get us some pitching, which is the thing that we need help with, and see if we can make some noise. And at the end of the season, if this turns out that way and the Pirates are in the playoffs and the Brewers aren't, it's going to be pretty clear which way was the right way to go.
Yeah, I guess fair enough, right? We have a model like there's I guess it's not a control necessarily, but there's two variables here. You know, Pittsburgh went one way going with the arms, Milwaukee went a different way going with the bats. We'll see if either of those guys can get that wild card in the Central. You got to think the Cubs, who are starting to play very, very well, will be running away with that. Listen, Jake, there's some other moves. Let's see if any of them rate for you. The Indians go and get Leonis Martin, maybe to play there in center field over Rajai Davis. He had a great start to the season, been a little bit banged up lately. Gausman to the Braves, Dozier, you know, going to Los Angeles. I mean, the Dodgers really fortified in power up the middle. They got Machado a couple weeks ago, Dozier now. Which of these moves, or is it something else that rates for you?
You have to take notice in Dozier and Gausman. I mean, obviously, you add a bat like Dozier to the Dodgers, and that's a team that already had pretty much everything else, and they can even platoon them if they need to because they just have the depth around. But on the Gausman thing, is Gausman's numbers versus the AL East versus everything else, I mean, there's a chance that he kind of turns into at least close to what people were hoping he could be when him and Bundy first came up. So I think both of those are something that people should take notice of.
All right, fair enough. So remember, you may still in the next few weeks hear about trades, but remember, yesterday was the waiver trade deadline. Now, anybody trying to make a move, those players will have to go through waivers and can potentially get snatched up by a losing team. All right, Jake, only a couple of minutes left to go here on Roto Experts in the Morning. We have some new team names that I want to suggest to you. And I think, honestly, Jake, as time goes on, I think we're getting better and better ones. I personally really loved Jim Martell yesterday with For Netflix and Chill. I showed it to you. Our guys, Kenny Cashman over on RotoWare, they've turned around and already made a shirt out of it that it looks like is going to be dropping soon. So that's got to be a good indicator that it was a fun team name. Jake, currently you have For Netflix and Chill, like I do, in the number one spot. But over time, it can get bumped out. I've got three more to share with you to see if you like them. The first is by a guy named Derek Davis. He hit us up. He's the same one who had Alvin and the Chipmunks. We're like the championship. He hit me up on Twitter and clarified. He was like, yeah, I'm talking about Chip, like a championship, LOL. And then he gives me another one also about Alvin Kamara. If you're a video game guy from back in the day, you know about the Mario Brothers. What do you think about this for Alvin Kamara, the Kamario Brothers?
Yeah, that's decent.
That's decent? You
know, it made me smile and laugh.
Okay, you know, maybe it forced the sides of Jake's mouth to go up a little bit in a smile. Okay, fair enough. I got two more from Taylor Bryson that I think are pretty good. Scott loved them because they represent, you know, songs from his era, shall we say, Jake. So Scotty definitely really liked that one. What do you think about using the wide receiver in Tampa, Stairway to Evans?
That's decent too.
That's decent.
Let Scott have that one. Obviously, I don't care about, you know,
okay,
songs from 1943
enough.
Or whatever.
Well,
it was.
I think it's a little bit later than 43, but I'm with you. And then this one, Jake, Scott not only loved this one, but he had music queued up ready to go when I had this one. We talk about rookie running backs all the time. This guy gets maybe not talked about as much in the rookies. I'm talking about the rookie running back who is now in Detroit, the guy out of Auburn. What about Carry On My Wayward Son?
Everybody knows that one.
Okay. So does that mean you don't like it, or it's just like too used? It's plain.
It was too used after the draft.
Really? Right away? I mean, he's a rookie. You know, it can't be used.
It doesn't matter. It's so obvious. I even said it, and somebody else said the same thing. That's already been no. It's beyond.
It's beyond, says Jake. Fair enough. So keep on at it, guys. Derek Davis, we appreciate it. Taylor Breeson, we appreciate it. It looks like the Kamario brothers, you know, got Jake to maybe not full-on laugh, but, you know, he smiled, which is the best we can say. Last thing, we only got 90 seconds. Jake, are you familiar with Harbaugh and why he does not want people eating white meat?
No.
Okay, I'm going to send you something. You have to look at this. You know, we know Harbaugh is a little kooky, right? We know Harbaugh is a little kooky. I think he pushed the boundaries of this when talking to some of his players in Michigan. Jake, get this. He told guys not to eat chicken or any white meat because he believes that chicken is a nervous bird. And that they have injected stuff in them that as we have started to eat chicken as a society, that we've gone downhill. He advises all of his players to stay away from chicken, literally, quote unquote, because it is a nervous bird. He's a little kooky, huh?
I think he's been eating too much chicken.
He probably has. Hey, Jake, tomorrow we'll dive into some more content from the Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Package. And we also have, albeit it is the Hall of Fame game, we got a Hall of Fame game to preview. We'll do all that. We'll maybe bounce some more team names off of you as well. We pass it off now to Carton and Friends on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. For the King, Scott Angle. For my guy, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. I am merely the spitting statistician. Hey, fantasy owners, have a great day. Hopefully nobody goes down in training camp today. Jake, I'll talk to you tomorrow, brother man. Have a good one.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.